There are so many people beginning to speak out about these issues. We are no longer alone. This isn't, you're not a part of some radical 2% of America or the world. There's a growing body of people that are beginning to ask the right questions that come from different movements that are saying, you know what, whether it's my right to bear arms or my right for free speech or my freedom of religion or maybe even my discussions about race, there is something very similar to the oppression that is taking place of people that maybe no longer want to listen to top scientists admitting to us, we lied to you. Maybe we're tired of being marionetted around with lies. This group is expanding and bringing in some really dynamic new characters and personalities and brilliant minds. Here's a great one I want to introduce you today, Theo Wilson.
I want to introduce you to Theo Wilson.
Welcome, Theo Wilson.
He is an activist. He is a Black Lives Matter supporter, and he believes that vaccine injury. Theo Wilson!
He went undercover as a white supremacist to better understand their hatred.
What surprised me most is how hatred backfires on the hater immediately. Of all the guys that were in the alt-right that I was studying and all the guys who were trolling me when I was making Black Lives Matter content, the thing that struck me was that none of them are happy. In time, all parasitic privilege crumbles because, as it turns out, you can never find heaven making hell for someone else. You want to help humankind, start by being a kind human. It all begins from within.
We stand on the outside of a system that is a juggernaut, that has taken the lives of so many children with half-baked science and tried to mandate that needles be placed in the arms of people who don't even have a fully formed blood-brain barrier.
Those who are in the movement didn't want to be in. These parents woke up to a living nightmare where their children were permanently altered due to trusting a medical system, a system that has a history of experimenting on black and brown bodies to figure out what to do for white bodies. You see what I'm saying?
So how is laboratory science the measurement of matter when nothing that matters can be measured?
A world wide web was gonna span the reaches of people across the globe. But as it turns out, people are people. And this magical superhighway also took the demons of our nature and gave them Ferraris.
You have this vulnerability, especially in the age of the internet, of people falling for new school Mein Kampf ideas, getting rebranded as something brand new, and they don't realize how they've been baited into being on the wrong side of history yet again.
Your attitude and your approach to the mechanics of life is literally bigger than the universe, because it completely dictates what you will make of your experience within that universe.
Every smile, every flower, every butterfly wing, every bullet unchambered, every breath a baby sings weighs something, and there is no way around it. And we waste all this life on the things that go wrong when too much goes right for you to count it. Close your eyes and submerge into the real thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's really my pleasure to introduce you to Theo Wilson. If you do not know who he is already, Theo, you know, I was watching just that cut down and thinking, finally, we've got someone out there that can, you know, really start to give some big bang up speeches. I'm not alone. It is so refreshing to hear you speak. To begin with, you know, we're going to talk about health freedom, but you really sort of blew up onto the scene by going undercover with white supremacists. Just very quickly, what inspired you to do that, and what were the main takeaway points that you had from that experience?
Wow, I didn't think I was going to be talking about this today. Thank you very much for having me on the High Wire, Del Bigtree. It's come true in a certain sense in my activist work. But what did it was, I am a police brutality survivor. I lost a friend to police brutality. So when Black Lives Matter began to kick in, I started making online content, just expressing how I felt, and it ended up going viral. And when that went viral, I had a lot of trolls happening on my page and saying things that, you know, you don't say to no self-respecting black man. So I saw that there was a movement growing, and my desire was to figure out what exactly are the roots of it? How is this happening in what was supposed to be post-racial America? And what I uncovered was that there's simply a lot of fear beneath the hate. A lot of people are feeling like they're not gonna have the advantages that their fathers had. A lot of people feel like the country's changing demographic is actually a threat, when actually there's so many benefits, especially when those of us who are in the freedom movement and the truth movement begin to combine our powers, because there's something bigger at hand. And right now, the nature of war dictates that we put down these differences and face the larger enemy that's at our gates.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that at a time where it feels like the news and the hype around whether it is racial inequality or certainly racial violence, which is, you know, I think no one is questioning these things are going on, but it feels like there's a divide, like where we're supposed to blame people, and yet you seem to come from this place of compassion. Is there any power to compassion?
Well, yeah, if you want to understand people, you really can't come at them with sword energy. You have to be a healer more than a warrior when you have to, like, literally build bridges in this. Both sides of the racial divide, in terms of black and white, of course, there's way more people than that, have a historical trauma that we're working through. It is a very, very real thing. And that historical trauma dictates the lens by which we filter information into our world. And if we don't know that we have these lenses on, then it's like a hurt part of your arm, some scar tissue. If someone touches it, you're going to react with so much violence that you're just going to be really causing a chain reaction of negative energy. And so I have compassion because that's part of my spiritual walk. There are other black activists that just don't have that bandwidth, and I don't blame them for that. Historical trauma is real. What I try to get folks to see is that right now, the American experiment as a whole is in jeopardy. And there are many forces on that. A lot of those are the real historical racial fracture lines that have existed in this country since its foundation. And I talk about that unapologetically. But right now, what I began to realize was that vaccine truth and health freedom was actually a Black Lives issue. I'm what's called a Black Lives Matter activist. I'm not a part of the organization per se, because that's a whole different topic to get into. But in terms of like the movement and ethos of the time, this is where I belong. But a lot of people were not drawn to connection. There are so many things that happen in the Black community when it comes to medical and health abuses that are not being discussed. And the political divide is making sure that the folks who need to talk to each other ain't talking, and I'm here to actually bridge that gap.
It's clear that you are attempting to bridge that gap and bring that divide, you know, remove that divide. You live in Colorado, where we have all been watching, we've been reporting on the fact that they are working to pass bills to really take away our rights. Of course, I'm talking about Senate Bill 20-163 that wanted to rename religious and philosophical exemptions. I think more importantly, really start data tracking and shaming people and making them sit down to a movie about how great vaccines are when they're trying to make a choice about their health. Let me just go ahead. Here's you speaking to that committee in Denver. It's quite powerful. Everyone take a look at this.
My name is Theo Wilson. I'm the executive director of Shop Talk Live. This is a community activist, especially in the movement for Black Lives. And I'm saying to you right now, be careful, Democrats. Be careful. Because what you're about to do is cause a backlash to your party, likes which you've never seen, especially among people of color. How is the party that stands for a woman's right to choose to do with her body going to remove the right to choose from poor folks? I don't get it. Where's that from? It seems like it's from Big Pharma. I don't need to rehash these words with you all, but I will say that the evidence in this movement that gets branded anti-vaxxer, that gets relegated to the sidelines in the debate about what is right for our children, is pointing to the fact that those who are in the movement didn't want to be in it. That's what's so crazy about it, man. But I ask your average pro-vaccine person, whether it's a politician or whether it's somebody just in the general populace, where did this movement come from? They have all sorts of funny answers. But what is not being talked about is that these parents woke up to a living nightmare where their children were permanently altered due to trusting a medical system, a system that has a history of experimenting on black and brown bodies
to figure out what to do for white bodies. You see what I'm saying? This is the history that's at play here. So how do you engage these communities? You make sure that you are talking to them in the context of their history. And in the context of our history, this bill simply, ooh, and the data mining thing, oh my God, right? So basically with all of this anti-vaxxer fervor out here, you're going to subject children to the will of the mob, to the fear of the people in their school and their community, to make them targets? That's dangerous. If you as a party enable those Democrats, you will lose very, very many elections, and you're going to lose your base, which is the black community, which I guess accidentally I'm speaking for today.
Well, accidental or not, you definitely spoke. It was powerful. Let me just ask you first. I know that there's many people right now watching this show that have been standing at Capitals, you know, with me and with Robert Kennedy Jr. and all the other great speakers that are out there. I am sure we are all excited to have you on board, but how'd you get here? What got you onto this vaccination issue?
Let me tell you, I'm holding it right here in my hand. This book, Medical Apartheid, I'm trying to show it so that you guys can see it. Medical Apartheid by Harriet Washington is groundbreaking stuff, because what she does is that she goes all the way back to slavery and rehashes how these unethical medical experiments were run on poor folks, and specifically on black folks and black communities, especially back when they were owned by other people. You know what I mean? They got evidence in here, oh my God, about this vaccine trial, the EZ vaccine, which was for measles from 1987 to 1991, that literally pumped 500 times the toxic amounts necessary to, I mean, literally into kids, right? Unbeknownst to the parents, unbeknownst to anybody in the community, tried it in Haiti to the same effect, killing kids, right? We got experiments that are being run from medical institutions that are oftentimes relocated in black communities. And so literally, especially during the Jim Crow era, the guinea pigging was off the charts. And it continued until today, sadly. You know, I saw vaxxed and I changed my whole paradigm about everything. And so I said, when you look at the demographic that's protesting, they don't look like me. But the fact is that if you were to talk to the black community for real, this is our lives. We know this. We got uncles, aunts, children that have been affected by this, and we don't necessarily know where to aim our energies, because when police brutality comes up, when the fact that we actually do protest gang and community violence in our communities, when that actually comes up, then it's like our energies are donated to those causes right there. So we don't really get to the medical freedom part of it, but it's not that we don't feel the way that you do, because believe me, you'd be surprised how many people want to fight for medical freedom and just don't have the time and the energy to do it in my community.
You know, I wonder if you've been noticing there's something, and again, not to put anything on it, but as I'm reading articles and I'm seeing people speak about the fact that there seems to be an increased risk among African Americans, it kind of goes without saying, because there tends to be an increased risk in many autoimmune diseases, but black people, 4 times more likely to die from COVID-19, ONS fines. You know, I think we can look at multiple reasons. There were nurses that have gone undercover that said that the hospitals just aren't treating these patients the same way they treat everybody else, as though, you know, in the poorer communities, they don't have the same testing kits. All of those things we can look at. But what's making me, you know, nervous is this upcoming vaccine for COVID-19. We know that they are rushing this vaccine. Two words, rushing vaccine or rushing science. I say two of the most dangerous words there are. But, you know, Melinda Gates recently was asked, you know, who are the most important people to vaccinate? And she lays out her biggest concerns. They said, you know, who needs it after healthcare workers? We all keep hearing healthcare workers may get it before the trials are even over. And she says in the U.S., that would be black people next. Quite honestly, and many other people of color. And I'm starting to hear just these murmurings that, you know, we've got to get it to the African-American community first, that maybe this vaccine will be available before it's even finished its safety trials. Does this set off any sort of concern that we are leading up to using, you know, the risk of coronavirus with African-Americans as a way to maybe turn them into an unsuspecting test group?
Danger, Will Robinson. Houston, we have a problem. Red alert, red alert. That's all my community is talking about. And even because my fiance is from Africa, she's from Ghana, right? We're talking about these medical trials happening on the continent. Now, we know what Bill Gates did when he brought these vaccines to Africa for the first time, right? Here's the problem with the coronavirus vaccine. The way they're talking about it, it's not a regular vaccine. This is a plasmid RNA vaccine or a plasmid DNA vaccine. It's literally going to take synthetic DNA sequence from the coronavirus and actually put it into your cellular membrane and trick the proteins in your cells to actually create the proteins that look like the ones on the outside of the coronavirus. Basically, we're talking about altering DNA here, folks. This is not your regular attenuated vaccine or non-live virus vaccine with the adjuvants. This is an experimental science from the get-go, meaning we don't know how this is going to affect human DNA. They tried it on pigs, cows, they tried it on chickens and guinea pigs. But literally, the human trials for DNA plasmid, RNA plasmid vaccines are all the way brand new. So this is a very, very big danger because we don't know the full science of what altering DNA and altering RNA can do in order to change the human organism for good.
You wrote a brilliant article in Colorado, in the Colorado Sun. It was titled, Wilson, Black and Vaxxed, A Complicated History Clashes with the Future of Senate Bill 163. When, you know, in laying out this article and sort of discussing what you are involved in, do you think your community, is it going to be hard to get through to them? Number one, that these vaccinations may not be the best thing for you. Of course, at the center of Vaxxed was the incredible rise in autism in the African-American children in that study. But also when we look at a coronavirus vaccine, I'm sure you're, you know, you probably talk to your, you know, to people and friends that you know and say, hey, we cannot be the test group on this. Let's let somebody else get up and test this thing first. How do you see bringing these movements together? Is it possible? And what's the plan there?
So the first thing we have to do is break down the fear of coronavirus as a racialized phenomenon, which there are elements that are a racialized phenomenon. The narrative stops there, and it doesn't go into the science. So the culture adapts the narrative, but the science keeps on advancing. And so one of the major things that we have to do is actually start talking about, number one, our history. That's one of the ways to bridge the gap. Say, listen, we've seen this kind of thing before. We've seen experiments on poor folks. We've literally got the evidence right here in the book, Medical Apartheid by Harry Washington. Go ahead and look it up. But when forefront, we are not. And I think that the major thing that's going to be a big weapon in our arsenal about not bringing it to the Black community first, y'all got to do something else, is the fact that this is not only a new vaccine, but it's an experimental science altogether. And people aren't even really talking about that aspect of it. And therefore, we really can't afford any medical mistakes, especially on the cutting edge of something that's ultimately never been tried in human beings. Why should we be the first ones on the front lines in Bill Gates, Melinda Gates' history? I'm sorry. I know he's being made into this big boogeyman, but the fact is, the facts are the facts. Evidence is the evidence, and he shouldn't have did what he did in Africa, and then we wouldn't be having this conversation. See what I'm saying? And one more thing that I'm going to say in this. People, when I began to speak out of this, call me a conspiracy theorist. And I was like, you know what? Martin Luther King was called a conspiracy theorist to a certain degree, and so was Malcolm X. There's so many conspiracies that have been proved right, and until you can divorce the capitalistic profit motive from the predatory elements in any money-making venture, you cannot rule out conspiracy altogether. That's just not wise, and it's ahistorical.
You know, there was a really weird headline that we're all trying to wrap our heads around, and maybe you can speak to this better than I can. This was in the New York Post. Oregon County issues face mask order that exempts non-white people. I don't know if you got a chance to look at this. Health officials announced last week residents must wear face coverings in public settings where they may come within 6 feet of another individual who is not from the same household. But people of color do not have to follow the new rule if they have heightened concerns about racial profiling and harassment over wearing the masks, officials said. Did you see this article? I mean, my understanding is because I guess when an African American wears a mask, somehow maybe that's going to make them seem more threatening. So since viruses don't seem to, help me wrap my head around the thinking here. Is this Is this pro-racial profiling, against it? What's really going on here?
First of all, my community don't even know about this. I was the first, when you guys said this to me, this was the first thing I knew about it. What I see it is as cutting off a head of a dragon only to create two more. Okay. That's what it looks like to me. See what I'm saying? Like, New York Times presented evidence that when they started confronting people in New York in general about mask wearing, African-Americans and Latino-Americans were very, very much overrepresented in the people who were being confronted. And that's a problem. We have a history of, you know, folks just suspecting us for covering our faces and whatnot. But, you know what I'm saying, because of the crime element and all that stuff that, sure. you know, has been perpetuated through the media, I don't think this is the solution, though, because of the fact that, first of all, if your goal is really to stop the virus in general, then masks got to be pretty democratic. You got to have it on everybody, right? But if you're talking about figuring out how to actually, you know, make the social atmosphere better for everybody involved, then I think you need to go back to science. These masks hurt people. It literally decreases your oxygen intake. My friend has a father on the fire department down in Colorado Springs, and they're getting calls from folks jogging in masks, passing out. Literally, like, you're consuming your own CO. So this isn't the way to do it, even though I understand what they were trying to do. They were trying to address something real, but this solution is going to hurt more than it's going to heal. You know what I mean?
I do, and, you know, it's the first thing I thought about. Essentially, you're turning us all into bandits, right? And you know, the youth are now putting like skulls and crossbones and things. I mean, how is this making us a more peaceful people? It's making us trust, you know, less, you know, we can't trust anybody. We're now more afraid. We're hiding. I don't even know what you look like. I think that's going to be a problem across the board. And what does it do when we wear it, when we're not really just glowing and being forthcoming? You know, just to wrap it up, it's such a pleasure to meet you. I look forward to doing it in person. You know, do you feel like we're about to see, you know, because I've been out there and, you know, we've had the Nation of Islam involved and on occasion a Baptist minister or something will show up. But is this something that as we start to see more oppression and forced vaccination policies coming for every adult, do you believe we're going to now start seeing, you know, more of the rainbow of beauty in our movement? Is that coming our way or are you all alone out there?
I think we're going to have to, and I think that I'm part of the effort to make that happen, because the fact is that we do have political differences. I know that a lot of conservative folks see the movement for Black Lives in a certain way, but right now we're talking about these kids. Right now we're talking about these children, and right now we're talking about the future. And so if you want this movement to double, triple in power and numbers and effectiveness, then you got to break down these bridges. And the best thing to do is understand our history, the Tuskegee experiments all the way up to the easy vaccines in Los Angeles. This is something that is very worthwhile. Once again, I'm pubbing the book Medical Apartheid by Harriet Washington, because it's going to history in order to have the conversation. And we're reaching out, and if you reach back, then we will expand this movement. And frankly, one thing that's gonna make the movement expand is that even if they kill all of our efforts to change this legislation, the vaccine industry is still gonna be injuring kids, and it's still gonna be harming folks. And that's gonna bolster the numbers, whether they like to or not. The vaccine truth movement is running actually the long-term tests in studies that they refuse to do. They just don't like the results. That's what's going on.
Theo, thank you for those important words. And you're right, the vaccine danger is indiscriminate. It does not care race, creed, color, none of it, religion. So it's great to have you out there. Very, very exciting. I look forward to standing on a stage with you soon. Take care. Thank you for taking your time today. Oh, we have a website. What's the best way to track the work that you're doing, by the way, while you're out there?
Honestly, just go to theowilson.net. When I get to actually touring and speaking again, I'll put my schedule up there, and I might be coming to a city near you, you know?
All right. Sounds good. Everybody track Theo Wilson. Okay, shoptalklive.org. And remember, I get calls all the time that people want me to speak. We now have another great speaker on the circuit that can cover, obviously, the science and bring us together on race and all these other discussions. So please, let's start using these people that are out there and stepping up with voices like Theo. Theo, have a great day. Thank you for taking the time.
You have a wonderful day, Dale.
If you like that clip, then be sure to check out our live broadcast of The High Wire every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can watch it on Facebook, YouTube, iTunes, and Twitter. We'll see you there.